As we kind of come to this communion table, I want to take us to one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's the book of Jonah. So if you don't have your Bibles in front of you, in a moment, I'm just going to put a couple of verses on the screen, which are going to be the ones we're going to think about tonight and just reflect on briefly as we come to the communion table. But in case you don't know, what is possibly one of the shortest stories in the Bible, but actually one of the most well-known, but even still, I find that though I've been hearing it since I was a kid, I'm still discovering things in the book of Jonah. This book that tells the story of a man who was part of God's people, and yet when God spoke to him, he ran the other way. And then he got on a ship, and the storm came. Maybe you're in a season of a storm in life in some way, but you know what? Jonah was asleep in the boat. Maybe you're here tonight and even can relate to that. Just feeling a bit kind of like sleepy. Church sometimes can be sleepy. Anyway, then he gets woken up by the people around him. And actually, they say, you know, what's all this? And Jonah says, well, actually, I believe in God and I'm running away from God and it's my fault. And they throw him overboard because that's what he tells them to do. And the sea goes completely calm. And the sailors are amazed. And Jonah starts sinking. Drowning. And then the famous bit in the story of Jonah, the fish comes, the giant fish that swallows him, rescues him, the fish that God sent. And we're going to pick up what Jonah is praying in the belly of the fish. We're going to pick up a couple of verses at the end that have become like the turning point in this amazing book. There's certainly a time of transformation for Jonah. And it's a time where we see that Jonah is kind of starting to change what he's holding on to here. And as we see this change that's just about to take place, where Jonah is no longer this one who is kind of in disobedience, he's now kind of come to one who's going to say yes to the things of God. As we see something of that transformation in Jonah, what we have to see is also that as God transforms Jonah, he's just about to transform through Jonah the entire city of Nineveh. Nineveh is this hugely wicked city, probably the most wicked city of that time, and it's about to experience something like a revival. Imagine that. That as God's people are transformed, they can become agents of transformation to others. But the story doesn't even finish there. The story goes on and we realize that Jonah is actually not so happy about what God does, because there's still work yet to be done in Jonah. And it's all to do with understanding more and more about God's amazing grace. Not just to him, but this grace that God wants to show to others. So I want us to keep dipping into this amazing theme of understanding grace. I've been reading a great book I'd recommend on the book of Jonah called The Prodigal Prophet. He points out how Jonah is a bit like the prodigal son in the first half of the book. He's the one running away from God and then, as it were, comes back. But in the second half of the book, Jonah's a bit like the elder brother, if you know the story of the prodigal son that Jesus tells. And he's kind of on the outside looking at this one who's shown grace, or this whole city shown grace, and he's a bit kind of like not that impressed, to be honest. But we're going to pick up a couple of verses right in the middle, right in that place where Jonah is beginning to see something of the transforming power of grace in his own life. And we're going to read here. Maybe you could read with me up on the screen, Jonah 2, 8 and 9. This is the end of Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. Let's read together. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. So the first thing I think Jonah would want to teach us tonight is that idols can't save. So ditch them. Idols can't save. So ditch them. You know, Jonah had actually been clinging on to all kinds of things that we're going to see were not actually the real power to save in his life. You know, at the beginning of the year, I was talking about us being a people who follow Jesus and go and become fishers of men. And I was talking about how Peter and James and John and Andrew left their nets to follow Jesus. And I was talking about how so often we can worship things that we don't realize we worship. They're things that we look to for security, significance, and fulfillment. It might be kind of achievement or success. It might be something to do with our own appetites, or it may be people, even God-given people in our lives, like kids or our spouse or our boss or parents. You see, our hearts can turn good things into God things. Our hearts can turn good things into God things. So I want to ask this evening, what are you really looking to and finding your identity and your security and your significance in? For Jonah, he was clinging to his position, his heritage, the fact that he was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. You know, in fact, he was even a prophet. Jonah, son of Amittai, we read in the beginning of the book of Jonah. You know, and he actually wants God to let him be him, and he's a lot, as it were, a kind of don't disturb sign on his life. Particularly, he's really keen that God would bless him and his people and judge his enemies. That's what Jonah would like. I said, if you're not sure at the beginning of the year what the idols are in your life, here's two great questions. What is it that you daydream about? And what are your nightmares? For Jonah, I can imagine him daydreaming that God would just completely destroy the people of Nineveh, the enemies of God. They'd actually come really close to completely wiping out Israel. And I imagine one of his nightmares is that actually that they would do that, that the people who were his enemies would come and take him out. You see, his security was all about the position that he felt he had with God, all about his heritage. What are your daydreams? What are your nightmares? Because following Jesus always involves a leaving, always involves a repenting and believing, a trusting that actually idols are worthless. Idols demand things from us, but they give nothing. Idols places we think we can find security and significance in, but they never do. And actually, Jonah says that when we cling to worthless idols, when, as it were, we hold on to these things, maybe our comfort or security in other things other than God, what happens is that when we do that, we actually don't have these open hands then to receive grace. We forfeit grace, as one translation says, the grace that could be ours. You see, grace has open hands that receive. Grace is so different from idols. It's the complete opposite. Grace is all about what God gives us, even when we don't deserve it. And grace is what this table is all about. And Jonah's story goes on. It starts with this in these verses saying, don't cling to worthless idols. And it's a phrase kind of echoed by the Apostle John, who, if he was here, this old apostle who was exiled for many years, who saw Jesus die and rose again. You know how he ends his first letter? He says, dear children, little ones, keep yourselves from idols. So brothers and sisters, whatever it is that I can turn to, let's keep ourselves from idols. Stop clinging to worthless idols, because idols can't save, but the Lord can. The Lord is our Savior. So that's the thing that I want us to really have in our heads and hearts as we come tonight to this table. That this is the table where we remember what it's all about. This is the table when we remember it's only Jesus who is the Savior. It's only this one who is the Lord who's come. And Jonah was a sign of him. Jesus was the one who wasn't inside a fish for 3 days. He was in the grave for 3 days. And he burst forth from the grave, Not just to transform a city, but to transform the entire world. He came as the Savior, the one who we can cry out to and look to. And so Jonah says, the Lord alone saves. Salvation comes from the Lord. He's the one we should look to. He's the one who took our place. He's the one who actually, when we should have been the ones who, like Jonah, were thrown out the boat, he's the one who does and dies on our behalf. I love this quote. I've shared it before. It's a quote of John Stott's, and it says this about sin. He says, the essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, but the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Man claims prerogatives which belong to God alone, but God accepts penalties which belong to man alone. And that is what is happening right here. Jesus comes and his body is broken for you and I. His blood is shed for you and I. Penalties that he didn't deserve, but we deserve, but that he took in our place. This is the reminder, the picture that the Lord saves. And as we come with praise. We come with thinking, God, you're amazing. It is all about you. And we have this kind of testimony in our hearts that we can then share with others, a testimony of God's grace, of God's goodness. This becomes not just our nourishment, but our message. Not just our song, but our salvation. And you know, it's a powerful message, a powerful testimony that we have as we take hold of this bread and cup and say, yes, we believe the Lord saves. I love this verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where talking of the battle going on between Satan and the Lord Jesus, this battle that the Lord Jesus has decisively won at the cross, but that still we are caught up in the final throes of. And this is what the writer to the Revelation, John himself, says. He says, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. Like Jonah. Sometimes people think, well, we don't quite know what happened to Jonah. Did he really kind of respond? Did he come back and respond to the grace of God? And we don't know. The story ends with a kind of cliffhanger question that we don't get answered. God asked Jonah a question. But as I've read and studied and looked at the book of Jonah, you have to ask yourself, how did we ever know what Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish? If it wasn't that Jonah, after all this, came back and wrote it down and shared it with his people and said, actually, this is the grace of God to me. And brothers and sisters, as we come to this table tonight, let's come and allow ourselves again to be transformed by the grace of God. Let's allow ourselves to say, hey, you know what, Holland Road? We're not going to hold on to anything else other than Jesus. He is the one we hold on to because he alone can save. We're going to keep turning from idols. All the things around us in the world which it says, hold on to this, hold on to that. No, we're going to hold on to Jesus. And we're, as we hold on to him, going to praise him and with grateful hearts speak of all he's done for us. That many, many in this city and beyond would hear this good news that salvation comes from the Lord. Amen.